it's a choice to love people.
Yeah.
It's a choice to love the church. It's a choice to actually live in community. It doesn't come naturally, thank God for the Holy Spirit. But really, what a beautiful practice of our life. And as you get into that discipline, you know, it actually forms you. It shapes you.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks, Season 10, Episode Number 2.
Well, welcome to See, Hear, Love. And this is such a special show for me because I have my two closest, greatest friends with me today, Lori Hartshorn and Angie Peters. Welcome. Now, isn't this fun? Because usually we're in a different context.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're at the cottage.
We usually just do fun things together.
We do fun things together.
We
hang out.
We look much nicer right now. Just saying.
I know, usually shorts and like a tank top is usually what it is. We need to introduce. It's so funny. It's like, of course I have to introduce you. So Lori, you are an author, speaker, and TV host and friend to me. And Angie, CEO of Young Street Mission in Toronto and the author of Just Act. So welcome. But I just want to give our viewers and listeners too just a sense of how special this is for me. Because, I mean, the context of us is that we hang out at cottages. And here, take some. I brought some pictures. You know me, the pictures. So there's us playing pickleball.
Oh, fun.
Lori taught us pickleball. There's us at the cottage.
I taught you. I tried.
You tried to teach
us. That's right. Yeah,
here's us at the Just Act book launch of Angie right here. We also have there, look at Christmas at the Distillery District Market. So we've had a lot of memories and history together. Mm. And how this theme of the show came is that we were actually this past summer at your cottage.
Yep.
We were sitting on the deck and we were talking about the church. Mm. We were talking about our own faith journey. And then, Angie, I think you brought up this, you know, sort of saying, are we known for our love? Mm-hmm. If we say that we are followers of Jesus,
yes,
are we known for our love? And what does that mean for the church? And so then I'm like, oh, we should do a show. You guys have to come to the show and let's talk about it. So I'm so grateful that you're like, you said yes, and here we are. So let's start off then with the problem of the church. I've been reading, I've been seeing, I've been hearing that many people are leaving the church and that we have a problem with the church. Why? What's happening? What are you hearing about the church?
There's certainly a wide variety of reasons why people leave, right? I mean, you've experienced, we've all experienced different things.
Right.
Some cases are legitimate scandals that have gone on, breakdown of leadership. I mean, I never wanted to be that person leaving a church. Mm-hmm. And then in a season of our life, we did make a choice to leave a church that we loved, that we invested in. But a lot of it had to do because where our family was at. So, you know, we had that angst and it was painful. But I think what I learned in that journey was if you're going to leave, leave well.
Yes. Yeah. And when you left, you joined the church I was at.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And
that's
I think
how,
one of the reasons that I stayed there for so long is because it was a great church for my kids. Mm-hmm. Right? And it wasn't that I thought that church was perfect, because I don't think churches are perfect, because they're made up of people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we showed up.
Yeah.
We were part of that.
Yeah.
But I stayed there until I moved. And it wasn't until I was choosing a church just for me after my kids grew up and moved out where I actually changed churches. And the reason for that change was because of what we see amongst churches. They have theological differences, right? But I think, and I'm not saying you should pick a church on the basis of what they're telling you what you want to hear, but so long as the gospel is there and it's gospel-centered, those other things, you churches have charisms, right?
Yeah.
They have a focus. And I chose a church that felt right for me.
Mm-hmm. And I think the problem, and I need to say it because I have friends who have left the church. We've heard about the deconstruction and whatnot. But as you mentioned, I mean, there are big problems with the church that aren't loving. Mm-hmm. We have abuse of power, sexual abuse, sexual harassment. We have racism, sexism. We have embezzlement. We have issues with leadership. We have bullying. We have toxic environments. Mm-hmm. We also have challenges with certain people groups and gender identity. We have challenges with even people looking at the Bible and going, I don't want to believe in a God that did this in the Old Testament. And we have some challenges with some of the stories and interpretations of Scripture, as you talked about, theological challenges. And so I just want to acknowledge that there are problems and they are toxic and hard, and it's people. And it's not the way of love when we talk about, are we known for love? No wonder people are leaving the church because they're like, that's not loving.
Right.
And I want this conversation to say, we acknowledge the problems, but we're here to kind of talk about what are the solutions, what the church is and what the church isn't. So, yeah, and I think, you know, I left too for the same reason theologically where, you know, as a woman, I have gifts. Mm-hmm. And in the church that I was at, they didn't believe a woman could use those gifts in leadership and in speaking. And mm-hmm. so I graciously left and joined another church and denomination that allowed for me to do that.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons too.
There's kind of two kinds of leaving too, right? Like we've all had experience of leaving a church, but our heart was to go to the next church, the church that maybe would be the church that we're supposed to be at in that next season. But then there's this actual leaving of the church where, you know, there's a, I'm now not even longing to go back. Mm-hmm. I'm not even looking to go back. Yeah. And I think that's where our heart and angst was at in that conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, really, like, it's a call back. Like, there's good reasons to come back to the church. And I think, you know, that for those who have left and just have not found that place, that I feel a heart for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what is the church then.
Yeah.
I think let's say, okay, we have the problems. So what is the church and what is the church for?
I think you have to go back to the beginning with anything, you know, like where did it start? And if you look in scripture, I mean, the Old Testament, there's a lot of prophetic words looking, this anticipation of this body, this church that would come. But the actual church did not start until Jesus left this earth. He ascends, goes to heaven, and he says to them, now wait, I don't want you to screw this up. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to actually send you a gift. It's called the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And the church inception, the beginning of the church was, first of all, God's idea. He started it, and it was through the power of the Holy Spirit that it started. The Holy Spirit came the day of Pentecost, if you know your scriptures, and it was in that place mm-hmm. that actually all tribes, nations, tongues, there was unity because the Holy Spirit was the start of the church.
Yeah.
And it was, the church is a gathering of people in a place to encounter God, right? That's what the church is. And really, we have to look at the church is not an organization man-made.
Mm.
Now, it's been screwed up over the years, if I can say that on your show, you know, honestly, because we start to build in our own ideas of church and it becomes this dysfunctional organization. But actually, church is God's idea. He started it. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a living, breathing organism.
Yeah. Angie, the function. So what is it then? What's the function? What's the purpose, too, of the church?
Yeah, well, I think it's a lot of what Lori said. And it's to, it is for us to gather and is for us to learn and be equipped. Equipped for what?
Mm-hmm.
Equipped for service.
Yeah.
Right? To be disciples, to go and follow what Jesus modeled for us. And when he did that, when he came, when he was walking the earth, when he was building into the people that would build his church after he left, he did that by making a community.
Yeah.
Right? There was the him, the three, the 12, the 72.
Mm.
And when he sent them out in pairs. So we're not meant to do this by ourselves. And I think that's what makes it so hard. If we don't build supportive, loving relationships within the church, with people that we've gathered with around a common purpose of service, then we've got nobody to support us when we go out there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So then we hear that this is the church. We hear service, we hear about doing it together within community, we hear that it's, you know, the Holy Spirit's been left with us to do the work of God. Mm-hmm. So what isn't the church? Because I think that's, you know, and that can go in with expectations of the church and why people get so hurt, but what is the church not? Because I think a lot of people have a picture of what the church should be for them.
Right.
And that's where we're seeing a lot of the challenges, too, with the church and how people engage with it.
Yeah, and I think that that's an important question, right? Like, what isn't the church? And it's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't meant to be, if that makes any sense, on human, on this side of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you think about who Jesus gathered, he gathered a whole bunch of different people. And then we've got the scripture that says, the hand can't say to the eye, we don't need you, right? It's a bunch of diverse people. And there's always been conflict, actually, over all of human history in the church. But he shows us that that's intentional, and that conflict isn't bad because the strength of the church is all of our differences.
Right.
That's the strength of the church.
Mm-hmm.
But learning how to live together, that's the solution. So we'll talk about that later. But it's a place where we can learn from each other, we can grow, and those differences can mold us more closely into his image. It's an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. I love that. Like, it's about expectations, right? Mm-hmm. So when you come to church and you want it to be your social club, you want it to be your best friends, you're looking to have all your felt needs met.
Right.
I think it's an unfair expectation because, I mean, think about in Scripture, everything God does is in family. I mean, we have a father and a son. We become brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Everything about what God does works within a family. Now, is every family in Scripture perfect? Clearly not. I mean, we see a lot of dysfunction. Yeah. And to your point, God uses the angst. It's like iron sharpening iron. You know, that's part of the strength of the church. But actually, what are our expectations? I think when people, I was a Connect group pastor for a long time, mm-hmm. Connections pastor. My heart was to connect people with each other. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. You're not always going to be hanging out with people that not are maybe like the friends you play pickleball with or you go to the cottage with, right?
Yeah.
In fact, the small groups I've been in met over the years, many of them, they wouldn't actually be the people I choose to hang out with. Mm-hmm. But because we're family, this spiritual family mm-hmm. that's actually ignited by the Spirit of God, that's where you find this family to connection. Mm-hmm. It's supernatural, actually, Mel. And I think when we're looking at the church in a natural sense to meet our needs, we're going to fail every time. Mm-hmm. We do need the Spirit of God that enables us to love one another. And don't expect the church to meet all your needs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a big one. Because I think that is one of the problems, is that when we think the church is to be the place and the pastor and the leadership to fix our needs, make sure that all of our felt needs, our emotional, spiritual, mental, physical needs are all met at the church and with the people.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's a great reminder about what is our responsibility as a family in that. Every family member needs to participate, needs to take out the garbage, needs to clean the dishes. And I think we need to look at the church in that way, in that light. Yeah. Let's talk now. We've talked about the problem, and I want to say this because there has been some real hurt with the church and hurt by people in the church. I've had friends of mine who've been hurt. I've been hurt. But I want to say this. I love the church because the church has also, in my own journey, helped me in some of the darkest times in my life, has helped me in my own learning and journey and development of becoming, a woman that I hope is like, becoming more Christ-like. So I love the church. It's not a bashing of the church. I think we just have to acknowledge there's problems and we need to find some solutions and hopefully, inspire and encourage people to come back.
Yeah.
Give it another chance.
Yeah.
Or restoration is needed, reconciliation. Yeah. So let's talk about this solution, about how can we then be known for our love? Mm-hmm. Like, what is that going to take? Yeah.
You know, I read something really interesting recently, and it was an analogy of the church, right? Mm-hmm. And when God created the human body, he created the human body, this is pre-fall, with an immune system. Mm. So his assumption was that the body's not going to be perfect, and it's going to need to heal. And then there's the analogy in the body of the church being the body of Christ and having different parts and differences. And so I think about it and I think, well, how can we be known by our love for one another, known as his disciples by our love for one another? Well, we're human. And sometimes it's hard to love people who are different. So what's the immune system for the church? You said it earlier, it's the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
And so when we have a difference, when we have something that's causing us to not be able to feel loving towards somebody, or our church even, for that matter, mm-hmm. unless it's something catastrophic, pray, right? In Mark 6, it talks about Jesus, the disciples coming back after they had just been sent out two by two and they were tired. And he said, so they were tired from ministry, right?
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
And he said to them, come and be with me for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know where to go.
Yeah.
And that's where we find the strength, and that's how he can change our heart, so that we can be part of creating a loving environment rather than detracting from a loving environment.
Yeah, so good, so good. I think, too, as I've had my own experience of being in the church, not just as an attendee, congregant, whatever the word is, but also a pastor, you have to really be reminded about our expectations and what is the role of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And you go back to Jesus' words. He basically gave us the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. This commandment to love, and then the Great Commission. These are really the two call to action in our life, is the Great Commission, and go and make disciples, mm-hmm. baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you, which is to love, mm-hmm. to love God and to love others. And when you, many churches have their mission statement, you know, and yeah. really it comes down to the same thing, loving God and loving others. But it really is, you want to find a place that not only is the gospel powerful, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, that's who we come to worship. That is our co-mission together, to take what God and what Christ has done for us through the cross and to invite other people into that. Mm-hmm. And I think when churches lose track of what their calling is, we all do it uniquely. We can have a unique vision in how we do that. But our mission and mandate is to invite people to the heart of God and into relationship through Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when we lose track, even as leaders, of what is our mission, then actually we lose sight of the people that we're to love, mm-hmm. not just within the church, but this invitation that God loves those who are not yet part of his family. Right. It takes your eyes off yourself and all the needs you might think you need met, mm-hmm. and you get on mission with God, and then you start to live your life so differently, because it's easy to love people when you recognize that they're lost and that they need a savior, right. and you invite them to be part of the family. And don't you find that your life is better when you're thinking about other people rather than just
always
yeah. all always. Yourself? Always.
Like I just say, even as leaders in the church, like stay on mission, mm-hmm. you know, do what matters and don't get entangled in the weeds.
So then if it's about us, so I'm talking about Angie, Lori, Melinda, and we're part of church community, we're part of community, how can we become more loving? Because I'll be honest, if I was going to do my own review of myself, I'm not always loving.
Really?
I'm just saying, like, you know, if I'm doing kind of an inventory, it's like that they would be known for their love, that you would be known for your love.
Yeah.
So what does that look like? Because I think people are like, okay, we're tracking.
Yeah.
We're tracking that there's the problem with the church, it's people. We've heard about what it is, what it isn't, what the purpose of it is, the solution. But if I'm responsible and I am a participant in this, what does that look like for me?
Yeah. Yeah.
What does that mean for me?
Well, you wrote a book about it.
Right? Yeah. Yes, that's true.
That's a very specific
book. Yes.
I think that for me, so for example, I stayed at the same church for 19 years.
Okay.
And I didn't agree with everything.
Huh, okay.
But the things that I didn't agree with weren't like...
The essentials.
Okay.
And it was a wonderful church family, and I loved the people there, and I loved the leadership, and I thought it was fantastic. So the act of loving it, even though I didn't agree with everything, came down to me reflecting and like praying and saying, what, like, does this really matter? Right. Does this really matter, this thing I differ on?
That's good.
It didn't matter enough for me to leave. It really didn't. And sometimes it can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in my case, it didn't.
Yeah.
And I stayed. And when I left because I moved.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think, you know, if you want to be healthy in your life, a lot of health, emotional, mental, physical, relational, spiritual health does come down to discipline, does come down to the practice. You watch Jesus, right? We always go back to Jesus. How did he live? Yeah. How did he do community and life together, which really is a reflection of how we are to respond to? If I was really honest, church is a habit of my life. It's a discipline of my life. My husband and I just started our small group last night. We call them connect groups. And I'll be honest, I was tired. And I'm like, oh man, like, you know, we got people coming over. And then when we open the door and they start coming in, I'm like, this is a practice in my life. By the end of the evening, I felt encouraged. I heard other people's stories. You know, like doing life together, it's a discipline. It doesn't always come easy. And I think the hit of COVID in our world broke a habit. For many, the habit and the discipline of choosing to do life together and to follow God together actually is one of the biggest issues. People haven't returned to church because they lost the habit, right? And the culture certainly isn't supporting that habit. Right. So, like, it's a choice to love people.
Yeah.
It's a choice to love the church. It's a choice to actually live in community. It doesn't come naturally, thank God for the Holy Spirit. But really, what a beautiful practice of our life. And as you get into that discipline, You know, it actually forms you. It shapes you.
I think what I'm hearing, and because it's not easy, like I'm entering into a new church and the people are very different.
Yes. Right.
And as I get older, I want more comfort and ease and
That's
the same,
fair to say.
Right?
Yeah.
Just being honest.
Yep.
And so to be into a new community, ugh.
It takes work.
It takes me to go, okay, that's not how I would have done it. And yet,
yeah.
being part of community is that. Extending yeah. grace, not always putting my producer hat on and going, oh my goodness, the service could have been so much better.
Right. Yeah,
they
yeah.
need a rundown. I can create that in a second. It's like, no, okay, Melinda, just be present and enjoy, because my mind's always thinking that way. And so I think that's good, because a lot of people aren't, you know, I'll say this, a number of my friends aren't going to church.
Right.
Because out of habit, the churches aren't working for them. Are they relevant? It's effort.
Right.
And I want to just bring back that the church is good. Like, the church really was the lifeline for me, was the mm-hmm. anchor and foundation for me throughout not just difficult times in my life, but celebration moments, going on mission trips, celebrating, you know, my marriage. Like, church is because it's family.
Yeah.
It's people who are choosing love and connection, that's why. And I will say this, when I go out, some people are like, you know, why church and why do you follow Jesus? And I always come back to why I follow Jesus. One of the main things is because Jesus has brought me a community that are focused on being more like him,
yeah.
that have literally saved my life through these last like 50 plus years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
I'm grateful for the church. I love the church. And I want people to get that, because yeah. I think it's so important to come back to the church yeah. if you're away, but also to step in if it's something that's new.
Well, yeah. and I think it's your personal posture too, right?
Yeah.
So if you go into church looking for comfort, yeah. you're going in as a consumer.
Yeah.
Right.
Good.
Yes.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
You're going in to be served versus going in to with the perspective that everybody in that church is Imago Dei, made in this image of God, yeah. in some way different than you.
Yeah.
And if you had curiosity and say, oh, God made this person, I want to learn more about them.
That's good.
Even though they're different than the person I might choose to normally hang out with.
Yeah. Right. And I think it's so cool.
Yeah.
God is not surprised by this.
Yeah.
I mean, if you read the New Testament, so much of it, letters to the church, 59 times in the New Testament, let us, like there's a lot of let us, you know,
yeah.
salad eating, but,
yeah,
you know, it's we, the church, let us 59 times, this is how you need to behave, people.
Yeah.
And actually, God's not surprised that we have these challenges. So we need to, you know, actually welcome him in. And it does form our character.
Yeah.
When we, especially, I mean, as I've traveled and you've traveled too, I love the church being the body of Christ around the world. I've sat in churches, as I know you have too, not even, I'll remember moments, we weren't even speaking in English, all other languages, worshiping God, probably the most moving experience of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is ultimately who we are, the body of Christ, and we express it differently, and it's so beautiful to see the we and the let us
mm-hmm.
all across the world and learning to actually reflect God together.
And Andrew, what you said, it's as well, like I think the problem can be where we just go to consume
yeah.
and to appease our guilty behavior decisions, and we went to church and we did our thing. But that's not what it is.
It's not duty.
It's not, that's good.
It's not duty.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels that way.
It can.
But it's not.
But it's
yeah.
not. And
right.
and if you go with a curiosity,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And with a learner kind of mentality, right? Like, I want to be more like Jesus. What am I going to learn today? Mm-hmm. What am I going to learn from the sermon? If I didn't learn anything from the sermon, what am I going to learn from the people?
Yeah. Right.
Right? What am I going to learn?
Yeah.
And how is the Holy Spirit speaking to me?
And how am I going to contribute?
And how am I going to contribute?
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, the church I chose in the end is just this lovely little struggling Anglican parish where we have people from the local men's shelter attending. And it's just so community.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so welcoming.
Yeah.
And the people in this congregation could not be more different.
Yeah. yeah.
And it's so different from the churches I've gone to all my life,
yeah.
like
yeah.
ridiculously different.
But doesn't that speak to, Angie, that when we're looking at this epidemic of loneliness,
yes.
and we're hearing this all over, the church is really the answer. I mean, it's a call to the church, us people, to be like, we need to be arms open and welcoming people.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have an epidemic of loneliness, then the church can be the answer
Absolutely.
For community and connection,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
To be like, you're welcome here. Yeah. You belong here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we need you here.
Yeah. Right.
And I think we need to kind of like get that, you know, kind of in our minds about that. It's like, you know, reaching out, bringing people in, going to where people are.
Right.
And being known for our love and not what we're not, that what we're against, that we're not loving, that we're this, and this.
Yeah, yeah. And in this climate, the world needs us to be loving.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They need a place to belong. They need a place that's not about an adversarial posture or an oppositional posture, right?
I mean, it's been said by several, but that really the church is the hope of the world. Mm-hmm. And the local church is the hope of the world.
Yeah.
The local church actually, in its uniqueness, in its diversity, in its expression around the world, is the hope of your community. And if we actually believe that and we will actually engage with that, those who are follow God, more people will want to follow God.
Yeah.
More people want to love Jesus and love each other, right?
Yeah.
So like in many ways, yes, we've dropped the ball, right? But we can pick it up.
Yeah,
And we can make, actually represent God as his image bearers in a healthy way when we choose love over everything.
And I love, and I know that we discussed prayer, that prayer is really key in all of this. And I want to say to our viewers and listeners who are kind of tracking with us, I know some of you are having problems with the church and you've been hurt, or you're looking for a church community to be a part of, and you may be saying, I need some prayer. Well, we have someone that you can call and who will pray with you 24/7. So watch this and learn how you can connect with somebody to pray with you.
As a single parent, the weight of responsibility is overwhelming. I'm grateful for the prayers that give me the strength to keep going for my kids' sake and mine. You were there for me, offering support and encouragement and reminding me of God's promises when I needed it most.
We are so grateful we have a team of people who are available 24/7 to listen and pray with us, so make sure that you use that prayer line. Okay. Final takeaway on how we can be known for our love.
I think, honestly, keep the big picture of what the church is and isn't, like we talked about today. And ultimately, we see the scripture ending in this climactic scene of the body of Christ gathered around the throne, worshiping Jesus, the reason why we gather, right? Every tribe, nation, and tongue. And we're worshiping him, and there is an accountability, like we're going to be called before him. And when I look into my Savior's eyes, I want to hear a well done. And I know there's going to be a question, something like, how well did you love my church?
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear the well done.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy to love, even the people in our own lives, right? But with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, and I think that when you think about love, right? Mm-hmm. How we're known for our love, it's observed.
Yeah.
It's observed. And so if we're actually loving one another like we're told to, people will see that, and that's going to be attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can do this, if we can rely on the Holy Spirit, if we can pray when we don't feel loving, if we can find the power to be loving in perspective from the Holy Spirit so that we do that, that is going to be powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people who are looking are going to go,
yeah,
I want what
something's
they
going on there.
Right.
What is going on there? It's so different. It's so countercultural. And it's what this world needs. The world desperately needs us to be loving. And then our lives will match our words. Mm-hmm. And so when they ask what's going on here, our words will make sense and they'll be credible.
Yeah.
And they'll want to know more. Yeah. And then they're going to meet Jesus.
Yeah. So good. Known for our love. Well, thank you, Lori and Angie, for an inspiring and incredible conversation from the cottage to the studio. I'm so glad that you were with me today. Really appreciate you. And to you, our viewers and listeners, for all the information about joining our weekly newsletter, to the events that we're doing, to watching past shows, to reading blogs, to getting to know more about Lori and Angie. It's all on our new website at seehearlove.com, and I'd love to hear from you. And as you choose to be known for your love, know this, please know this, that you are seen, you are heard, and you are deeply loved by God, and that you belong. Thanks so much for joining us.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See, Hear, Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See, Hear, Love because of these generous sponsors. Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.